This is a Hat Trick podcast.
Oh, lovely.
Welcome to In the News This Week, the podcast from some of the team who've worked on Have I Got News For You.
I'm Emerald Paston.
I'm Mike Raymond.
I'm Queenie Miller.
And I'm Jack Harris.
Whilst the TV show deals with the big news items, we'll be taking you through the smaller and sillier stories in the news this week.
Think of it like this. If the main show is a daring Parisian jewel heist, then we're a shoplifter at Claire's Accessories. So it says here, Mike says, hello, everyone, I'm back. And what I'll say is, I think producer Diggory's maybe forgotten who I am because he's put two exclamation marks on the I'm back, which grossly overestimates how excited I am to be back. But I am back.
It's a small nudge to be like, hey, come on.
He's given you sort of like a Jack Nicholson in The Shining level of excitement at going through the door. The podcast door, as we put it.
Here's Mikey.
Yeah, all work and no play, although... You've been very busy, Mike.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tell us some tales of your time on the show.
You know, you guys know it's like once you're in the machine, it all just weeks and days disappear. But it's been good. It's been a good start to the series. We had Alexander Armstrong, Ross Noble and Helen Lewis on last week, which was excellent.
Very fun.
We managed to persuade Alexander Armstrong to do a very stupid round two device to introduce the round two stories.
I was going
to
ask you about this because I watched it and as soon as I saw the... kind of antenna. I'm going to say a Claire's Accessories style of antenna put on his head. I thought, okay, they've pushed him here. And then when he did a face into camera to kind of get the antenna going, it did make me laugh a lot. So was it smooth? Was it very easy to convince?
Well, as you guys know, again, from we will spend time in the office coming up with ideas that really make us laugh, only for them to fall at the first hurdle when... whoever's hosting goes, I'm absolutely not doing that. But Zonda, he's game for a laugh. He was up for it. And if he hadn't invested in it, I think it would have fallen flat. The only thing I will say is we had a really fun idea. We're like, he puts on the antenna and then he conjures up an image. And we thought, oh, I bet Ian or Paul ask to have a go, or we'll try and persuade them to have a go. So we had a couple of VTs lined up. Sorry, VTs as in videotapes. So that's what it used to be called. We call them VTs now. It just means we play in a little clip. So if Paul did it, we were going to have just tumbleweed going across the screen. And if Ian did it, we had a basket of kittens. And in the record, Zander said after he did it, it all went down very well. And Zander said, does anyone else want to go? And everyone went, no, you're all right.
Of course. Classic.
It was a moment of levity in between Helen Lewis telling us tales of Riyadh Comedy Festival.
Mm-hmm. Well, perfect person to have on. So good.
I think this is testimony to how funny Helen Lewis is as a journalist. But some people online, they thought she was a comedian who'd actually played at Riyadh. They totally missed the point that she'd gone there to report on it and say, this is terrible. And some people were going, oh, that comedian, Helen Lewis. I can't believe she's gone on after she played Riyadh.
Were they the same people that were questioning whether or not Alexander Armstrong was actually conjuring up news with his antenna?
How is he putting this into my television?
How the hell is he doing that? What is this technology? Oh, Mike, I was going to ask you about one of the clips that was in this week's show, which I absolutely loved, which was Donald Trump going up the stairs of Air Force One. The clip is about 10 seconds or 15 seconds of just Trump, and this man appears from having crouched down. And you realise that guy must have been hiding there the whole time.
Well, what's amazing about it is when you watch it, because we got the full thing, the camera show Trump going all the way up the airplane stairs and like stopping, like he's like fist pumping, pointing up, like doing the old pistol fingers at people. And he must be going up. That guy must have been there the whole time. So when he pops up, it's just so good when he pops up.
It's such a good clip. I didn't see anywhere else. Was that just something you guys spotted online?
That is, as you guys will know, we've got lots of TVs in the Have I Got News For You office when we've got the 24-hour rolling news on. And obviously a lot of things are found on the internet now. So the second Keir Starmer says something stupid or Donald Trump says something, Ed Miliband falls over, it's straight away, it's online. It's always so good when you find something no one else has seen. And it was exactly that. It was just Trump was getting on the plane to go to Sharm El Sheikh and the guy just popped up and it was such a like, wait, what? Well, hang on a minute.
Where's it come from?
It's so nice to be able to play something in that no one else has seen.
Yeah.
You guys know, it's such a rare thing.
I remember getting one when I did the archive job where it was like, you know those microphones, the big fluffy microphones on the sticks? And they had like hold them out to get as close as possible. And it was one where, as he walked off, one of the microphones just sort of followed him behind. And I sort of was like, oh, it looks quite funny. I remember sending that on. And then I remember the producer writing a line into it, which was like, you know, reporters are desperate to hear what Trump's got to say. You know, they're trying to pick up every last omission. And then it's just like this microphone following his ass as he sort of moves away.
That's excellent.
It was
deeply satisfying.
Fun to find.
I've got to say, look, it is actually nice to be back and see you guys and be on the show.
Oh, that's great.
I also want to just quickly give Queenie a moment.
This is a dangerous idea.
Well, we really enjoyed producer Diggory's debut last week. Although there was one thing I wanted to get Queenie's opinion on. I don't know if anyone picked up on him calling you a gopher, Queenie.
Yeah. I don't know who Diggory is. Who's that?
The guy who brings you your latte.
Yeah. Well, he was really keen to silence women's voices, so that's why he replaced me on the pod last week.
Also, it was fair play to him for recording it live between doing his podcast in Riyadh.
Yeah.
So, as we always do this series, we're skipping straight to round two to cover the stories we think would work best for round two of the TV show. Jack, coming to you first. What you got for us?
So I was interested. I saw a couple of stories this week about ageing. I quite like it because the papers love an anti-aging story.
You cannot move in the Daily Mail for people on Ozempic. Every day there's a different person in their underwear in the Daily Mail saying, look at my massive head and tiny body.
There were two studies that piqued my interest. One study said that owning or working with a dog could slow down ageing in women, which I thought was an interesting one.
My mind immediately went to like colleagues with a dog. Sat on the desk opposite.
Oh, wait, you're looking across the desk and you're seeing a Dalmatian tapping at a keyboard dressed
That's
in a
what
little bow tie.
Happened up here.
There's not much detail other than like hang out with a dog and it will stop you getting older, which is pretty much all they kind of said. There was a bit of science jargon, but we don't care for that on this show. I did think that, you know, with the week they've had, someone should get Fergie a couple more corgis. That might, you know, the amount of aging she's done. And then there was an American study which showed that staying connected to others could help you age slower. And again, Queenie,
other
just
dogs.
Not physically sticking yourself. There's not a...
thanks,
again,
yeah. I do need that completely explained before.
Turn your gaze from that dog that's at the typewriter. Typewriter, because you're in the 1960s,
yeah,
apparently. And turn to see those people that have just stuck themselves together. But no, this is... they looked at 2,000 adults... and the strength of their social connection. So it's like involvement in groups and how active they are in the communities. And they found that stronger social connection showed slower biological aging. But what it didn't mention is that obviously if that social connection is happening at a pub, you undo all the hard work you've
done. You just cancel it out.
Keep a healthy middle.
What happens if a woman works with a dog but also socially connects but also does it at a pub also with the dog? Show you're working to the nearest two decimal points.
I will be the study for that. I'll hang out with a dog at a pub.
But
love that.
Based on this classic aging thing where they say a study has found that this could reduce it, I thought, okay, I'm going to look back at some news stories or some particular stories and see whether we think this is actually an aging study or whether it isn't. And the game is Elixir of Life or Crock of... Right, I can't see... It's deleted that last word, so I don't know what... I can't remember what it was, but we'll just go for...
Crock of shit.
What could it have possibly been? I'm really trying
know.
To think.
I don't know.
Strife?
Life and shite rhyme, but we'll go with it. That's
so funny. Okay, I'm really excited for this.
Do we have to say whether they've got a dog or they're stuck together?
No. You have to say whether this is an actual study for aging.
Okay.
Or something you've
made up.
Okay. I feel like I've aged a lot in the last 5 minutes, I'll be honest.
Perfect. Which is generally the effect that happens when you're on this podcast, Mike, and we say stuff like skibbity, and it sort of just puts on about 3 extra months into your...
I'd just forgotten about skibbity.
Okay. Eating 32 grams of peanut butter every day.
Delicious.
Just sounds like a good time.
I'm going to say that's elixir of life.
Me too.
Because I feel like peanut butter's good for you.
This is an actual study, but they found that eating 32 grams of peanut butter did nothing, but eating 25 grams of skin-roasted peanuts did
They do this concurrently.
Speed at which you age.
Did they have like two people in different rooms?
Genuinely did have two groups of people, one eating peanut butter and one eating peanuts.
There's no wonder we haven't cured cancer yet with all of those donation money if it's going to this.
There's a lot of in all of these studies, which I don't like. But
there was a golden age of science where it was like, what if we exploded yogurt with electricity? This was like in the 60s when we had money.
What a golden age.
That was a golden age.
Yogurt explosions. Love it.
Yeah.
Okay, next one. Turning off your phone's internet for 2 weeks.
Oh, that's got
probably
to be
good.
Yeah, that's got to be good. Unless you have a heart attack 1 minute into that. That's probably going to extend your life.
With these, I'm not necessarily saying they work. I'm just saying they've been included in a news
You're
article.
You're not necessarily saying they work because none of them do.
So really this game is all of them is crock of shit.
No. This is actually a Canadian study that says turning off your phone internet could reverse your brain age by 10 years, which seems way too far.
And bad if you're 10 years old.
Rubbing a frog on your face.
Well, I hope so. I hope that does anything because I do it every day.
I'm going to say bad if you're normal, good if you're a Disney princess.
Strong.
That is solid. Basically, a South Korean study found that something in bullfrog skin could stop wrinkles.
I think bull is the key word there.
Okay, right. Transplanting bits of monkey testicles into older men's scrotum.
It sounds like you're coming up with these off the top of your head. Whether they're true or not, you're like, sort of putting this in
Let's
your ear
go with...
for 5 minutes. Mike, what do you think?
I think I'll pass.
Mike, I've signed you up. It's going to be a Christmas present.
If this proves to be something that could be true, like reported in an article, someone will have had to do that.
Yeah, well, this was a study that happened, right? But it was proven to be not the case. And it was in 1923. And it was done 2,000 times.
To the same man.
Mainly in France, bizarrely.
They got bored after the French Revolution.
Oh, my God.
Did not work. Anti-aging did not work. And they found that just using testosterone was better. Mm. Finally, scream therapy. Screaming 50 times a day.
I think genuinely screaming is good.
I would say good for you too.
I made this one up. This is a crock of, I don't know what it is.
That sounds like the most reasonable one.
Yeah.
It's just what Rachel Reeves does every day in the lead up to the budget.
Hey. So the monkey testicles wasn't the made up one there.
Monkey testicles were not made up. That was something that actually someone did for anti-aging.
I don't get the whole living longer thing because like the end's the worst bit, right? Why do you want to prolong that? Have fun while you can. That's what I say.
We should have a moral to each episode of this podcast. I think that's a nice one.
Yeah.
Life is worth living.
Unless you're a despotic leader, though, to bring it to politics. Because you know, Xi Jinping and Vladimir Putin were discussing just having organ transplants.
Over the summer.
Yeah.
They were caught on camera talking about living to 150, weren't they? They said, you can, with the right transplants, you can live to 150 now.
Someone tells Xi about the 25 grams of skin roasted peanuts every day. That's a lot easier than getting a fresh liver, isn't it?
I feel like my brain's now processing at sort of half speed. I don't know what is happening. No,
and exactly, that's anti-aging, Queenie. That's what happens. You don't want a brain to go too fast, and that helps. So this podcast helps with anti-aging.
Jack, that was that happened. That was an experience.
It was there.
I felt slightly like a fever dream, but it suitably encapsulated what it feels like to read the health pages of most tabloid newspapers.
Thanks, mate. It means a lot.
Queenie, follow that.
My story this week. I'm just going to read the headline because it sort of speaks for itself.
Fantastic.
Man transforms pothole into beans on toast for protest.
What a hero.
Very, haven't got any fear.
This is a Metro story, so you know it's good. A campaigner called Ben Thornbury, who's 20, was pictured tucking into a traditional English meal to slam the increasingly traditional English problem of potholes, which we cover extensively on Have I Got News For You. So I was like, this is a perfect round two story, specifically with Rod Watch, which is just us keeping an eye on Rod Stewart because he's a prolific pothole filler-inner.
Because I think you could even spread out to Rod Stewart as a prolific hole filler.
Oh, no.
So can I ask a question? Going back to the pothole with beans on toast, I'm trying to, in my head, I can't kind of...
This is why it stood out to me as former picture researcher, because the pictures are incredible. It was a really deep pothole and he used 2 slices of toast and 30 tins of baked beans. And then he added cheese on top.
Hang on. He's put 30.
I've got to look this up.
That's way. His ratios are all over the place.
What? Do you not normally have 30 tins of baked beans on your beans on toast?
Oh, man. I use one tin of beans and I use three slices of toast. Yeah, he's got it all wrong, hasn't he?
So he's filled the pothole to the top.
Oh, man. I've just seen the pictures. It's a pathetic amount of cheese. It's not beans on toast. It's just beans with a bit of toast and like the dregs of cheese.
Well, he's clawed it back because his comment to the Metro was, I guess you could say this has been a success. Ooh. Get him on the show.
Nah,
get Ben on the show.
If anything, they should have had the Word document. And as soon as he said that, they should just press delete and just, there you go. Sorry, no longer doing this story. Thanks very much.
I've never felt
more proud to be British, right?
I've never felt more patriotic.
There's a fine tradition developing in this country of people finding different solutions to potholes, because in the past, there was the Phantom Willy drawer who drew penises around potholes to make the council do something about it. Do you remember the guy who made his 6'5" son stand in potholes show how deep they were? That was some good pictures.
Well, I was really interested in this story because these are all exactly as you said, Mike. They're like examples of tactical frivolity, which is a really fun, stupid form. It's an actual term that was coined like in ancient Greek times or whatever. Actually, no, it wasn't. It was in the 80s. But the first like version of it was, yeah, I was only like a couple years away. But it produces the best photos for Have I Got News, because it's often quite a scary situation and then you see like a guy in a frog costume.
I love the LA frog.
Single-handedly fighting ice.
Yeah.
But one of the earliest forms of it was a play by Aristophanes, which is basically the plot is a woman's mission to end the Peloponnesian War by denying all of the men of the land any sex. And basically just she gets all the women to lock themselves in the Acropolis.
I thought you were going to say distract them with a pothole filled with beans, which, to be fair, that's exactly what's happened with me and Mike. We've been totally drawn.
Yeah. I haven't thought about sex for at least 5 minutes now.
Yeah. No, not sex. To finish the war, Mike.
Finish the war!
All I can think of is beans. That's the way to get me.
Can I just say, again, we keep on referring to beans on toast. It is toast on beans.
You're so mad about it. It's so funny.
Thanks for that, Queenie. I think that was both ends of the spectrum there from you and Jack in terms of stories. I've got a story for you.
Please.
Let's hear it.
There's a new theory why we haven't been contacted by aliens yet, and it's that they got bored looking for us and gave up. I don't know if you guys have seen this.
I'm really into conspiracies, so I'm with you.
they were looking for us specifically and they were just like, nah, had enough.
Basically, it's all in a new paper that's been released, which has caused a bit of a stir, called Radical Mundanity, which also was the working title of The One Show. The Guardian summed it up with this. After exploring the galaxy with robotic probes, they may have got bored with the information sent back and given up on space exploration. So this idea that aliens didn't quite have the technology to find us, it was a bit of a barrier. And they went, why are we doing this when we could be, having fun? I'll be honest, I kind of buy it more than any other, like the Fermi proposal, the Great Filter. I buy it more than any of those.
Like when you're kind of halfway through a DIY project or something and you just sort of think, why am I bothering even doing this? Yeah. I don't even need a shelf of CDs anymore.
This isn't even my flat.
Yeah.
Exactly. See, it feels incredibly relatable.
I always assumed that they were sort of driving by Earth and looked out of the car window or whatever and were like, oh my God, what the fuck is going on down there? And it smells. And then sort of were like, yeah, we're not going to stop here. It seems unsafe.
Rolled up their window.
I do like the idea that they kind of have put it down to that. They've kind of flattered ourselves by saying that people are trying to find us.
Yeah.
Because I think in reality, people, like, we don't care.
Yeah.
I think they probably are just, like you say, getting on with what they want to do.
Yeah. One of the scientists involved said this week, told The Guardian, I think this is how they summed it up. It's like having an iPhone 42 rather than an iPhone 17. So they're saying that they're not that far technologically ahead of us, but they're just far enough ahead that they were looking for us and then they've gone, we're good.
Interesting.
I do think the difference between the iPhone 1 and iPhone 17 is pretty big, Mike. So the difference between the iPhone 17 and iPhone 42.
Yeah, what are you getting on the iPhone 42?
I think you're going to be able to zoom in on the front camera.
That's as far as it got. That was the pinnacle of achievement. That quote's there. That's according to Robert Corbett of the University of Maryland. Love their cookies. He told The Independent that Earth is not likely to be a very interesting place to visit. So he really stuck the boot in, and clearly he's never been to Watford Museum. So
what's in Watford Museum?
I was going to say, has it got a museum?
Watford's got a museum, yeah. It's one building. I think it's got a picture of Elton John. I think there's a picture of John Barnes.
And there's a picture of Mike Raymond.
Then there's not, but there should be.
We can all dream. We can all dream, Mike.
One day.
Sandwiched between two musical titans.
Elton John sandwiched between two musical titans.
Welcome back to In the News This Week. It's time for the missing words round now, where I'm going to read out some headlines from the past week and you just need to fill in the missing words. Okay, guys, here's your first one. French post office selling stamps that what?
French post office selling stamps that reveal who the next prime minister is.
Nice. That would be a good way to do that.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Every, like, what 2 months?
Yeah. Is it French post office selling stamps that require you to use an unsettling amount of tongue?
Oh, that's really good.
Very good.
The old Frenchie.
French post office selling stamps that smell like Macron.
Are you talking about the delicacy or the president?
The president.
Wouldn't sell any.
Oh, okay.
Not Macron.
It's a double bluff.
Yeah. That was really nice. Do you know what? You're amazingly close. Oh.
No.
Is it with this French? Is it French post office selling stamps that taste like popular cheeses?
That would be great. It's not. I'll tell you, because you guys, you've tweaked the nipple. You're so close.
Nice.
French post office selling stamps that smell of croissants when rubbed.
Ah. Hey, wow.
They've got bigger problems. I think I've said this quite a lot. I think everyone has bigger problems. But that's an interesting choice for the government at this time.
Yeah. Scratch and sniff stamps.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's probably
so
good
I just got the subject of the sniff wrong.
Next. Grub, Sib and Soda are all what?
Is it Grub, Sib and Soda are all people I don't want to meet on a stag do?
Grub, Sib and Soda are all names of Jamie Oliver's children. And he's got a lot of backlash for Soda because he taxed it.
Nice.
Grub, Sib and Soda are all royal household code names for Queen Camilla.
I can imagine her being Sib.
Yeah.
She'd be Sig for a cigarette.
Sig, yeah, true. Are they all nicknames I should have given up on when I became an adult? Stop trying to make Sib happen.
Soda!
Some people call me Jack. Most people call me Sib.
Well, no, that's a good guess, Grub. But unfortunately, the answer is Grub, Sib and Soda are all words that have been killed off because Gen Z refused to use them.
Here we go. Mike, this is your absolute dream, isn't
the
it?
The whole of Gen Z always catch strays here. And I don't know when it's coming.
I've got a list of other words.
I've been blindsided.
There's some more words.
Sib is in like sibling, right?
Yeah.
Who says Sib, though?
Grub is in food, soda is... They're not using it. There's a list of some other words Gen Z seem unable to use.
Yeah.
Please, can I have a job? Is there any overtime?
Keep going.
I don't want any extra emotional support.
Fair enough. Got me there. Slam dunk, Jack.
Queenie, what do you have to say for your generation? Once again, you're being made to answer for their crimes. I mean, is it a crime?
Yeah, come on, you grub.
In the sort of Nuremberg trials for Gen Z, I don't think I'd be very good at arguing our case, to be honest.
You'd be pointing the finger.
All my friends are 35.
What about your sibs?
I haven't heard the word soda in a long time.
That's very American.
You've been in America for like 2 years, haven't you?
I haven't heard the term soda, but I was with an American in an airport and they asked me, what's a Lucozade? I was like, Lucozade?
Lucozade plays for Watford.
Oh, mate. And he's good.
Yeah, great Italian defender. Next, anticipation grows as Swansea prepares for the first ever visit from what?
Anticipation grows as Swansea prepares for its first ever visit from Antarctica's number one Tom Jones impressionist.
Do you know what?
I think you've hit the nail on the head there.
Jack.
No way.
In some ways.
No way.
No Jack, way.
The answer is?
It would be unusual.
Oh, my, my, my.
that's the response I look for when I say stuff like that. People either going, my, 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 or well.
No, the answer is anticipation grows as Swansea prepares for its first ever visit from Snoop Dogg this is the news that Snoop Dogg is now the co-owner of Swansea City Football Club.
Oh, nice.
Following in the footsteps, obviously, of Ryan Reynolds at Wrexham. So he's taken his own chance. He's bought Swansea. No doubt, as soon as he realises how bad they are, he'll drop it like it's hot.
And suddenly the whole episode's worth it.
I don't know. I don't think that made it worth it.
I can just imagine you Googling Snoop Dogg songs.
Yeah. There was a lot of that.
Well, I don't. How they're not going to work very well together because they're the Swans and dogs famously don't get on with Swans, do they?
Or if you're Nigel Farage, Swans and Foreigners.
Yeah. Swans are high flyers, though.
Very nice.
I sort of winced at that one, just for everyone listening.
Next, archaeologists discover dinosaur that was halfway through what when it died?
New York Times cryptic crossword.
It's still stuck on the last answer.
Is it?
I like that.
Archaeologists discovered dinosaur that was halfway through defecting from the Tories to reform when it died.
That's good stuff.
Archaeologists discover dinosaur that was halfway through severance when it died. And you know what, me too. I'm never finishing it.
Yeah.
Is it archaeologists discover dinosaur that was halfway through a conveniently brushable pose when it died?
Really showing off its rib cage.
Yeah, really, really sexily. Yeah. They can have a field day when they see this. You
can really get that little tiny little toothbrush around.
Let me just get in this mud so I'm really well preserved. No, it's archaeologists discovered dinosaur that was halfway through eating a crocodile when it died. Last week it was found in Argentina with a crocodile bone still in its mouth. It thought the dinosaur died after it started choking on the crocodile and was unable to receive a Heimlich maneuver from a nearby T-Rex.
Lovely stuff.
I've got one more missing word for you guys. People in Greece can now what for the first time in 200 years?
Lock themselves in the Acropolis.
Have sex.
Great callback.
Have sex.
It's finally been lifted.
I actually do know this one, so any more guesses?
Okay, is it people in Greece can now eat dinner without smashing their plate afterwards for the first time in 200 years?
Nice.
I love it. I like that. That's a fun, clean joke that doesn't hurt anyone.
Yeah, thanks, mate.
I think it's people in Greece can now see the Parthenon for the first time in 200 years.
Oh, no, that's not right. It's not right.
Because of the scaffolding, no?
No. It's people in Greece can now transplant bits of monkey testicles into their scrotums for the first time in 200 years.
Jack, yet again.
Sorry, Queenie.
Yet again, you're right. Sorry, Queenie.
I'm aging. Okay. Sorry, Queenie, you are right.
Queenie, you are right. Of course it is. People in Greece can now see the Parthenon without scaffolding for the first time in 200 years. And you thought British builders were slow.
What? Like, so what is the scaffolding then? I don't understand this because 200 years.
It's like a structure that holds up a building. I don't know. So you sort of like get screwed onto the thing and then you can climb it sometimes. And it helps builders to build.
If I climb to the top
of it,
I can then throw myself off.
Yeah, for asking that question, yeah.
After being woman-splained.
That was incredible. That's made the whole show worthwhile. We posted this missing word round on our social media channels, and congratulations to PaulSussex89 on Instagram, who made us laugh with their response when they said, people in Greece can now flush toilet paper for the first time in 200 years. It was as selected by our producer, who recently has been in Greece and suffered that fate.
Whole another story for another time.
Yeah, that is. Next time Diggs is on. Hey, what a cliffhanger. Mm. Follow Have I Got News For You on Instagram and Twitter so you can enter our missing words round when we post another one next Monday.
Thank you for listening to In The News This Week. If you've enjoyed this episode, please give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify.
For updates on the show, make sure you're following Have I Got News For You on Instagram, TikTok and Twitter.
You can also get in touch with us by emailing podcasts@hattrick.com. That's Hattrick with two T's.
And make sure you're followed and subscribed to the podcast wherever you're listening to it now, and we'll see you here for next week's episode. I'm going to speak to a man about some monkey testicles.
You're really fixated on that story.
I know, I really got into my brain.
We want results when you get back next week.
You two can try the screen therapy.
Yeah, I mean, I think we were doing that anyway.
I'm beginning in 3, 2, 1.
In the News This Week is presented by Jack Harris, Queenie Miller, Emerald Paston and Mike Raymond. The producer is Diggory Waite. The executive producer is Claire Broughton. And the music is by Big George. In the News This Week is a Hattrick podcast.